Money FM 89.3, best of prime time. Mind Your Business with Howie Lim, only on Money FM 89.3.
This is primetime on Money FM 89.3. Now, according to several law sites, force majeure refers to contractual terms that contracting partners have agreed upon to deal with situations that might arise, over which the parties have little or no control, that might impede or obstruct the performance of the contract. In Singapore, the courts have held that there is no general rule as to what constitutes a situation of force majeure. Whether such a force majeure situation arises would all depend on what the parties in their contract have provided for. So what does this mean when it comes to the current COVID-19 situation? We get some help from partner of IRB Law, Jeremy Cheong. Jeremy, thanks for joining us today.
Hi, thank you. Thanks for having me.
So tell us more about this force majeure clause, what it actually means and how it works.
Well, the force majeure basically is a Latin term translating to superior force. And it's a contractual term that sometimes finds its way in contracts where parties try to predict what happens if an event which would effectively prevent them from carrying out the obligations under the contract, and what happens if such an event occurs. I think the important thing to note is that it's a contractual term. So if you leave something out, then it might not apply. So, for example, they might say the force majeure clause might include a provision for a volcano eruption, for example, or an earthquake. Yeah, so if that happens, then we don't have to build this building, for example. Mm-hmm. Or it might also say, on the other hand, an earthquake is not an event. So it will not allow parties to exclude their obligations under the contract. So it's really how it's drafted and what the wording is.
It sounds like a common force majeure clause may provide that the contract be terminated, say, in the event of a war, earthquake, something, volcanic eruption, like you said, floods, maybe natural disasters. So the question then becomes, is COVID-19, does it constitute a natural disaster?
It's a good question. Sometimes they'll say outbreak of disease, which is a lot easier. Natural disaster, I think you could make a pretty good argument that it's something that it occurs, or say naturally, or it's not man-made, as it were. So you could extrapolate the interpretation of the contractual clause to include such an event. But if you say it's something only like volcanic eruption, earthquake, and war, then is it of that nature of you could say it's a physical, it's a more geographical event. So it really turns on the interpretation of the contract.
Yeah, but the job of lawyers is always the semantics, right? You want to be as specific as possible so that you can't just put anything into the natural disaster basket, if you will. So outbreak of disease, is that a natural disaster now? Same nature as, say, earthquake or volcanic eruption?
I think if you say natural disaster, you are in a pretty good, I think you have a pretty good chance of saying it's something that is of that nature.
So how is the force majeure clause usually used in commercial contracts? You stated one example, if event of a natural disaster, I won't build this building. And other instances?
Yeah. It's a commercial agreement. So like I mentioned, you could use it to say this particular event is not a force majeure event, or you could say it is a force majeure event. So you want to try and allocate the risk using the clause. So you can decide it beforehand. You could say the contract is terminated in the event such a thing happens. Or you could say the contract is delayed or give you more time if such a event happens.
In your experience, how often is it used, the force majeure clause, in commercial contracts?
Not often. It is the clause occurs quite commonly, but it's rare to invoke it. I mean, by its very nature, these events don't happen very often.
Perhaps in our experience in Singapore, we're quite fortunate. We're shielded from a lot of natural disasters, so not a lot of experience with, say, earthquake or volcanic eruption, for that matter. I mean, taking COVID-19 now out of the equation. But in relation, though, to COVID-19, Jeremy, recently the China Council for the Promotion of International Trade announced that businesses can now request for force majeure certificates if their businesses with overseas partners have been affected by the outbreak. Are these certificates acceptable internationally, say in Singapore as well?
Well, it's not an easy answer to this question. Well, the court in Singapore would decide, or an arbitration tribunal if it came to that. But the court will decide whether or not it is a force majeure event. So what the Chinese government or this body is saying is that they are conclusively saying this is a force majeure event. But actually, in at least in Singapore common law, it turns on the interpretation of that specific clause. So you couldn't say this is a blanket force majeure event. Oh. So there's no general definition of what is a force majeure event. The clause itself sets out what events constitute a force majeure event under that contract. So you have to look at the contract, and that's what the court would look at it.
We're speaking to Jeremy Chong, who's partner at IRB Law. What if, Jeremy, oh no, your contract has no force majeure clause? What are the implications then?
Right, if your contract doesn't have a force majeure event, and then something totally unexpected happens, there is a doctrine of Singapore law called frustration. So it basically applies when the subject matter or the circumstances under which the contract was to be performed has been radically changed or no longer exists. So a common example is, let's say you are contracted to give a concert at the Esplanade.
Okay.
And then the Esplanade gets blown up and destroyed completely. Knock on wood, of course.
Hypothetically as well.
Yeah, yes. And you could say that the contract to give this concert is now frustrated because you can't give a concert at a venue that no longer exists.
Ah, okay.
So even if the contract was completely silent on it, what we call the common law doctrine of frustration always applies. And even if there was a force majeure clause in the contract, something that was not specifically provided for under that clause might also invoke that doctrine.
Ah, the frustration doctrine.
It's in the more general terms. It's the general application of the law, and whereas the force majeure clause is the specific contractual provision.
I see. So bringing it slightly closer to home, say an event organizer company had to cancel an event after a government directive, as many have happened here. Are they able to then cancel or void their space rental contract without charges? Is it the force majeure clause then being effective here?
Yes, there is a possibility in it that when something that you were supposed to do has been rendered illegal, for example, by a change in law, it may be considered by the court to be a frustrating event because you can no longer do it anymore because nobody expected the law to change. So it is possible, and we have to look at that particular contract, what the obligations were and how they were prohibited by the change in law.
Cast our eyes to the future, if we could. What can businesses or companies do when drafting contracts to include coverage from pandemics like COVID-19? Force majeure clause?
You could, and you could say that, you know, in the event of pandemic, you could say that this contract is effectively parties have the right to release themselves from their obligations. But it's difficult to completely limit the risk because when you say pandemic, at what point does it constitute a pandemic? That's also something to be considered.
When the WHO says so, perhaps.
Yes.
Certified organized body. Yeah.
Right. So you want to put in some kind of third-party assessment of it so that you can say for sure it's a pandemic, right? If five people catch a certain disease, probably not. 500, maybe. 50,000, right. Now we are pretty. So there's always going to be some uncertainty there. If there is a trusted third party, then you may want to make reference to it.
Jeremy, are you seeing more companies come to you and trying to excise the force majeure clause at this point?
I think we have had more inquiries on the subject because, you know, like you said earlier, Singapore is very fortunate in that sense. We don't normally have very significant natural disasters, but this is something that's quite, I think not many people have seen anything like this before. So we do have more inquiries on it.
All right, Jeremy Chong, partner at IRB Law. Stay safe, sir. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.